Hi, and welcome to GamerCast. This is episode 58. I'm Adam.
And I'm Paul.
We're broadcasting live on the 4th.
Are we still doing that, are we? This is broadcasted live on the 4th of February, 2007.
Bum, bum, bum.
We are joined by several thousand people listening to the show live.
So if it starts to chug, that's why.
It's a few thousand short of a few thousand. Whatever, right? <it's laughs> half a dozen.
Yeah. We have hardcore fans.
Well, yeah, with this new chat thing, that'll really get people
going. This new chat thing is absolutely... And we have Zelio in the chat room.
The Zelio man.
I'm hoping he's liking our new chat room feature. Is he listening live?
Yeah, I guess so.
Cool.
We've got one person listening live who isn't in the chat room.
So, yeah.
You can even drag it around.
We've added a new chat room feature for this live show, which Paul found, which is www.gabble.com, which allows you to add a URL of your webpage you want to have it in. And if anyone follows the gabble.com/live.gamercast.net URL, you will go to our website and it will open up a
chat room above it.
Yeah, that's draggable, moves about. Fully integratable, and anybody else who goes to there, they're in that chat room as well. So,
and you don't need to sign up or anything.
No, so it's going to be much, much easier. We can just shove this link in, and you can click to it. So
it's a bit better than IRC, even though my old schoolness in me is like, you know, trying to kill the web because the web is trying to kill all the other things. Mm. IRC man and Usenet. Whatever happened in Usenet? Usenet used to be awesome. Now it's just full of idiots, but just spam everything up. Right, anyway, on with the show. We had
we
no...
We could put a link in for this as well, could
yeah,
we?
Yeah, I'll do that in a minute. We had no user reviews this week.
No.
Although I do still have that review we've got on the back burner, which needs sorting out and editing and all that sort of stuff. We did have a letter this week. I've not checked on the forums to see if anything was going on there, so I'll do that now as well.
To the forums.
The forum... Ooh, we've got Darth Ura saying, damn, long show. That show notes list is long, eh? Okay, that's fun. And then we've got a letter from the little man.
The wee man!
He says, I'm a great fan of the show and was wondering when Crysis is going to be out on the PC and what you guys think if the new gameplay systems. I think it means of the new gameplay systems.
Oh yeah, I'll put this out to the people, but you're just listening along as I'm talking to Paul. Everybody remembers Stu, as in
the crazy guy.
Yeah, the Scottish guy that came on. He's got broadband now.
He's got broadband.
He's online.
He's joined the 21st century.
Yeah, his parents finally got it. So I'll send you
I'm gonna have to break out my old modem for like the old days, spending a minute of it making noises to connect up. Awesome.
I found it, so I'll send you his MSN so you can talk to him.
Okay, but are we actually going to answer this guy's question?
In a second.
Because you just went off on a tangent.
I actually found out what a broadband signal sounds like. It sounds more like, you know, like the old modems, like... Sort of.
Mm-hmm.
It's more like... It sounds like someone whistling down the phone at you.
Well, it's this higher frequency.
Yeah, because I didn't put in a filter.
It is essentially the same signals. They're just higher frequency, so they're above the voice section... And they're probably, and they're like faster.
Mm.
They're like more.
They float over the top. It's like warm water and cold water.
Yeah. So are we actually going to answer this guy? So when's Crysis coming out?
I don't know. I saw it on that Amazon on their list of stuff that's coming out.
But you didn't pay any attention, did you?
No. Going to Amazon.
Amazon.
Yeah. Amazon. The Amazon woman.
Well, I think the official date is 2007.
And then click in that little box there and type in Supreme Commander.
I'm just typing, he's asking about Crysis.
Okay, well, there it is.
And it just says coming soon. Let's have a look on the Games for Windows website.
games for Windows.
Yeah, they've got the wrong box on there.
It's EA.
Stupid EA.
EA Sports.
It's not EA Sports, is it? What is wrong with you?
I'm not working properly today. Games for Windows.
Ooh. Featured games.
This was the link I was supposed to click on earlier. The releasing Star Wars Lego as a Games for Windows game.
It already is.
It doesn't have that on the front of the box though, does it?
Yeah.
Done on mine.
Ah, your box sucks. Yeah. If you install it, you'll have all the performance rating and all that stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I'm reinstalling Star Wars 2 then.
Yeah, and I'm borrowing it and reinstalling it. just so I can have it on there. Yeah, according to this, Crysis is just 2007. So I'd imagine it'd be, you know, mid-year at the earliest.
And it being EA, where they've not told us bugger all.
Well, yeah, just publishing it. The developers, Crytek. Mm. People who did Far Cry and all that stuff. Yeah, they've changed some things on this Games for Windows site, so they've added this live thing.
Yeah, it's all changed a lot since Vista came out, because the Microsoft website just completely altered on release day.
Yeah, they do that. They like change everything to match their like launches of their big products.
I know, it's very nice.
So yeah, we don't know when Crysis is coming out, 2007. Gameplay systems.
Studio said something then.
What new gameplay systems? Is this the physics stuff here, or...?
Nothing's been...
I'll have to look at it, because I don't really know. Yeah. All I know is it's a shooter.
We'll look into it.
Which is a game. Mm. And that's fun.
We'll probably do the same thing where we'll look into it sometime further down the road, like we did with Supreme Commander, and it'll end up being a really good game.
It will be a really good game. No doubt about that. No doubt whatsoever. Okay, so what's next?
He's asking...
Zedio is saying it's June, so mid-year, like I said.
Mm.
Like I said, man, mid-year, June.
Second quarter.
Right, so that's the letters done, so we can get Outlook out of the way, which I've already done. So we've got a few news items this week.
News today. EA looks at dominating. Ooh, it's dominating, is it? Nintendo formats.
Could I just button and say one thing? Mm. Nintendo platforms. Don't say format. What the hell's a format? A format could be anything. Gotcha. Nintendo platforms. Clear and specific.
Exactly. You can tell they got a little bit overexcited for the Wii, but hey, you've got to get excited for something.
Okay, so basically after announcing its financial results, EA have set out a plan to become the top third-party publisher for Wii and Nintendo DS this year. So yeah, they've obviously been given a sharp poke in the ribs and said, you know, said to their people, oh man, the Wii is kicking butt. We need to do something.
Mm. Leave the Sony. Don't play with the Sony pony. It'll bite. Arr.
But they've got a realistic goal, they say, of being 15 to 20% of all Nintendo's platform sales, and they did admit Nintendo will always be number one, obviously.
Yeah, because they built the consoles, they actually make the best games on them. They innovate.
Well, they don't really innovate, do they?
Floppy wrists.
They just, you know, march out 20-year-old franchises again and again.
Exactly. So you just got to give them monkey hands, frozen legs. It's a great combination.
So yeah, on that note, EA are going to release Spore on the Nintendo DS.
Mm-hmm.
Spore is that awesome game.
It's going to end up being like Sims. Okay, it's made by the same people, but I mean...
It better not end up like The Sims. If I wanted to play The Sims, I'd buy The Sims.
No, I mean in the sense of there'll be lots of dumbed-down formats that are just playable games with no expansions and all this, that, and the other, and not much detail on all the consoles. And then the PC version will be absolutely uber... and be more detailed and really like, ooh, I can't wait to get my own moon base.
Ah, moon base.
That is my first goal. Everyone's got a goal. First, I want to be the ultimate predator on the land. Then the second one is to...
Well, you won't be, because the game balances automatically. So there'll always be someone bigger than you.
Cool.
With sharper teeth than you. Which sucks, because I like kicking ass.
Killer Care Bears.
We need to record that as a video. No, save it for later.
Killer Care Bear.
He's doing the whole face and claws and the whole thing.
And that.
That isn't what Care Bear sound like, though, is
it? You ever seen a real Care Bear? The cartoon was just a rough basis of the real thing. You find him in the South American jungles. They eat people in one go. Just leave the skin.
So why are they called Care Bears if they go around eating people? That don't sound very caring. And what the hell is a Care Bear got to do with Spore? Other than they made a Care Bear in one of the demos.
There you go, then.
You know, what? Get back on topic, man. You're way out there.
Spore. Moonbase.
Moonbase. So yeah, Spore is basically like a generation game where you start off with a single-celled animal, and then you, every generation, you get a bit of money to spend on like upgrading that animal.
Evolution.
And then basically, once you've got enough money, you can buy, you know, more and more brain capacity until it becomes a social being, and then it develops tribes and city-states and then nation-states and global civilization and then a galactic empire.
I imagine if you had the patience, you could play the game in the predatorial mode where you're actually coming out on land for a lot longer if you're not spending any points on...
Yeah, just don't buy anything on the brain.
Yeah, and you just get yourself to a complete predator, and then once you've got yourself to how you like it, then go on the brain. Because imagine the more you get on the brain, all of a sudden, ooh, sorry, we're going to take it away from you and evolve you.
Unless, of course, they dumb it down and that every generation automatically gets the brain updated.
Yeah.
That wasn't what they said in the previous videos, but you know games get dumbed down. But when you get up to, the Galactic Civilization game, you've got access to all the old editors anyway, because you've mastered genetics and all that, so you can go back and do that anyway.
Yeah.
And breed two species together and put them on a moon and make them explode.
Oh yeah. Moonbase explosions.
Right, also on the news is Dell being interested to enter the handheld market. He basically confirmed that the US firm is looking into launching a handheld console as it looks to increase the presence of its games market. Whatever that means. So I would imagine this would be based off Pocket PC.
To be honest, with a mixture of Dell...
I'm thinking Gizmondo made by Dell.
Yeah, what I would like to see is a company to come along and say, right, we want to work alongside Microsoft, and we want to build a console that is basically a souped-up handheld console with a nice LCD screen. I'd say about that sort
what?
Of
thing.
You know, something
maybe
like
the size of a laptop.
Or maybe smaller or whatever. Sort of portable screen.
Yeah, small, about the size of a Game Boy.
And wirelessly, and you install PC games on it. Something you can play PC games.
Right. So in other words, that.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Well that's it's Dell.
That's a phone. I mean, rip all the phone stuff out.
Dell makes some of the best pocket PCs on the market.
Yeah.
With 3D accelerators in them.
Remove the phone stuff and put in
lock down the software.
Yeah.
Well, their pocket PCs aren't phones; they're just pocket PCs.
Yeah.
Lock down the software, so it'll only read signed, approved games, and you've got a games console. So all you need to do is lock everything down, so you can't use it properly. Mm. Yeah. Great. Right. So that's interesting, but we believe it when we see it.
I think they should really pay attention to the fact that. Look at the PSP. It's aesthetically nice. It was nice and big. It came with all these... Ooh, fair enough. Ignore the Sony thing. But it came with all this nice gadgetry. A brand new super ultra UMD thing. You know, it had potential. And then you look at what Nintendo was offering in comparison. People were like, well, why are you going Nintendo? And then look what happened. Pow, Nintendo. Blew them clean out the water.
Well, everyone knew they were anyway.
So, Nintendo's got that market, so it's either you're going to join in and respectfully, you're going to have to look for a market. I think their ultimate market would not be to go for the gamer, but to go for the more geek gamer. Someone who's a PC gamer
and wants
to be able portable PC gaming.
Yeah, I've got one. It's called a Pocket PC.
You need to redesign a Pocket PC as a handheld console with a bit more finger sideways
Doom,
on.
SimCity. Age of Empires.
Exactly, you've already got games
Who
already
wants
out on
to
it.
Be a Millionaire, Monopoly, Lemmings, and so on.
Exactly. they just need to redesign it for more handheld.
So the Gizmondo, basically, which was a pocket PC in the shape of a PlayStation. Portable.
Yeah. So in other words, they've already, like it's been done, so I can really see this failing. So.
Anyway, a lot of people are demanding, in Europe, they're not, you know, in Japan and the United States, they launched a PS2 with the PS3, rather, with two different SKUs. They launched it with like a 60 gig model and a 20 gig model. And so on. Well, in Europe, they're only releasing it with the big model, the 60 gig drive, and people are basically saying, give us a 20 gigabyte version. So do you have something to, you know, say
to
on
be
that?
Honest, look at Xbox 360. They've already been
360.
Out. They're out and they've done it, and they came along and said, look, we're just going to give you hard drive or no hard drive. You can stick the hard drive on later. You know, it's add-on. Anything is, it is a complete and sheer add-on. So, the whole internal hard drive thing is just...
It's not internal, it's still removable.
Is it? It is a removable hard drive?
Yeah, it is on the PS3, isn't it?
I thought it was all internal, that you, if you got one without the uber-duber stuff, you can't have it fitted afterwards.
I was under the impression it was removable. Can someone on the chat room please confirm that, or deny it, or whatever?
Yeah. It was the fact that they don't seem to like show it or give an impression that it, whereabouts it is, because I can't see it on.
I was under, it was hidden under a panel or something. That was my impression.
Fair enough. If you could remove it, it would be a plus side to the PlayStation 3 that you could buy one and add one on or change the size. But they are causing a lot of waves with this. Let's have lots of versions. Nintendo seems to be the only people that be able to get away with it with their different versions of the GameCube. I'm still disappointed that the Wii has just solidly just fell into the slot of white. Because I know there were some people that really wanted black Wiis to go along with their black DSs. And there were multiple colours. But I presume they're going to end up getting the same way that once it's been out for a while. Look what happened with... Well, we got the official comment, I don't care, PS3 sucks. I think I'm going to go with that. When anybody comments on the removable, if removable hard drive, I'm going to go...
But you said it wasn't, and I think it is, so...
I don't care, PS3 sucks.
Well, that's fine for the chat room, but this is Gamercast, which is a professional webcast, and we do stuff, like find things out, occasionally.
Okay, professionally it sucks.
Do talk.
Sorry, I was reading what they were saying.
It's just Zelio saying nay.
Nay.
What's he, a horse?
Nay, sir. I shall slap you in the face for the wet herring.
Yo, man, Jamaican bobsleigh team.
Ha. Welcome to Model Russia.
Okay, well, it seems nobody on the chat room...
I've got my Russian t-shirt on today.
It's not Russian.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not.
Why?
Russia only made up 40% of the Soviet Union, okay? So you can't say it's Russian.
What is it?
Okay, CNC says they don't think it is removable.
It's not removable.
Right, you talk about something, I'm finding out.
Okay, he's going to find out. Can I do the next thing then?
Ooh. What is the next thing? The memory card thing, or do you want to... Yeah, read out the list of games. Do that.
Right. Now, soon we will be having 10 new Xbox Live Arcade games announced. We've got 3D Ultra Mini Golf Adventures, Alien Humanoid HD, Band of Bugs? What is it? Like a groupies of Bugs Bunny? Castlevania, our classic one, which also reminds me, Castlevania has been released Super Nintendo version on the Wii. Catan, Ents, Wuxia 2, Paperboy, oh my god, that was the third game I ever owned. I mean, ever. On my Commodore C64, I got three games for Christmas with it. I had Paperboy, this Tron light cycle game, and this beach buggy game where you drove around in a beach buggy on the road, but you could go off-road. It's weird. Root Beer Trapper, and Worms. Now, it just states Worms, so we don't know if it's Worms 2 or anything like that, which would be really cool, because being able to play Worms 2 on your Xbox 360 would be a very cool game, because I do like playing good old... what's it called? Summit Wars. Genu Wars or whatever.
Geometry Wars.
Geometry Wars, that's it. I love playing Geometry Wars. It burns away time. So... there's lots of people asking the question, so it looks like it's something they might not have stated then.
Well, this here says that PS3 hard drives will be sold separately. So...
Okay.
I mean, I was always on the impression that Kutaragi wanted to be removable because Kutaragi was always saying, oh, hard drive no big enough, always need bigger hard drive. He was always saying stuff like that, so...
I'll have to wait and see. It might be in that case, and people should really not complain. It's fair enough, one model doesn't have high Blu-ray, does it?
They both have Blu-ray.
They both got
Blu-ray. Only one... the last time I checked, which may have changed, only one, the expensive model, had HDMI.
Right. Bar that, they're all the same, but with smaller hard drives. Ooh, is that it? We seem to have a picture of something black with a white thing jammed in it, so it might be a removable hard drive.
I was unpacking the PlayStation 3 tonight when I remembered that it had a plastic cover on its side that read HDD. Of course, I immediately popped it off to see what was inside. It looks like a pretty standard hard drive that you can remove by unscrewing one blue screw and tugging on a little metal ring Sony was kind enough to install on the unit's side. That sounds like it's removable, even if it's not easily removable if you have to undo a screw. And they've got like the ring there to actually pull it off, so... That's as of, a couple of months back, so... it looks like it is removable...
upgradable only, not like where you could just yank off...
But you can't just pull it off on like a 360.
Which was a nice feature if you had all your game saves and everything like that, and your mate just basically had bought a premium... even if he just bought a premium, or he just bought a non-premium, and... he hasn't got any games. He's got one game, and you come over with all your controllers. Instead of bringing your console along, you can just whoosh, off
from,
comes a hard
from
drive.
From gamesindustry.biz, the presence of a removable hard drive module is also confirmed. Although it's still not clear whether a version of the console without this module will be launched.
So everything's still hazy, even all up to the end of the launch. Sounds like PS3 all over.
So you've done all that, yeah? Done the memory card?
No, we still got to go on the memory card.
Also in the news, there'll be a bigger Xbox 360 memory card available, which will be 250 megabytes.
What was the one I've got?
64 megabytes.
Well, that's going to be good. You'll be able to fit a lot of stuff on there.
Yeah, they tied it in with this, all the live games and stuff.
Cool, I'm liking that.
Is that they basically removed the... before, live games had a limit of like being 30 megabytes or 60 megabytes or something. And they've recently removed that so that live arcade games can be like a couple of hundred megabytes.
I suppose they needed that for shoving stuff like Mortal Kombat and games that were on larger consoles.
He also hinted at a 512 megabyte memory card as well. And according to one retailer, the unit ships on March 1st for $49.99, United States.
That's not too bad. It's going to be less than the price of a game, I suppose.
Well, it's about the price of a game in the US, isn't it? Because games are $50.
Yeah.
I don't know. Who cares?
Yeah, I'm thinking it's going to be something out here. It's going to be like £32, £34 sort of thing. But
see, that's fun, but I mean, get the hard drive.
It's only good if you're like... you
core person.
Yeah. And you haven't been able to get hold of a hard drive yet.
Which...
should
everywhere.
Be able to, yeah. Or you're someone who really wants to go over other people's houses and bring your data along with you, but... Take the hard drive off. Or, just use the one stick that's already out.
Now, Zelio says on the chat room that games are typically $59 for the 360.
Do you play yours much now?
Not post Gears of War, no, not really. I just use it for Media Center. Yeah. I'm waiting for the next game, really. Forza Motorsport. Right, anyway. Burning Crusade, the World of Warcraft expansion pack, has been released for download. So you can now download that over the net as well.
Oh, cool. There has been a big thing on the internet on pre-release that a lot of people were a bit worried that the game would not actually be hitting the shelves as such as a physical form and would be something that you would have to download off the net only. But it had been, obviously, rumours confirmed that we were getting a hard copy, but it looks like they've gone back to actually have this so that if you don't want to go out, you can just pay for it, download it yourself. Which is pretty cool.
Also, something that excites Adam.
Woo!
This is where you actually read it, okay? You don't just say woo.
Woo. There's a Spartan in my pocket, or are you happy to see me? WizKids are releasing a new...
What? I'm not happy to see you. Gay.
Gay!
Get out of my house.
Gay! Halo Action Clicks, brought to you by Wizard Clicks. If anybody is into Mech Warrior and noticed that there was a freebie little mech that came with Mech Assault 2, you will be fully aware that there was a click disc at the bottom of the statue, like the game was, like it was for something. This is a system created by WizKids where all the rules and card system, which normally would be in a miniatures game, all the attributes are written on a disc that's only visible by one slot, so you click it around. So every time you take damage, you take so many clicks of how many damage you've got, and it shows you what you've got left under your action points. It looks like Halo has hit WizKids' actions. I play Hero Clicks, where you play as either DC or Marvel superhero characters. And you just have miniature characters. It's cool.
Okay, that is fun.
It's something for me to do that doesn't involve me looking at an LCD screen and burning my eyes out, because the fact I'm on a computer all day, it's nice to get away from it. But, yeah. Look, WizKids are releasing a new system. So I shall be going onto their website and having a look, and I'll get back to you guys on that and more.
This is something Catherine discovered earlier this week, I think it was. She was having like an HMV, and they basically got PS3 bundles on there, which are bundled with a PlayStation Portable. So you basically, it comes to £674.99. And you basically pay up front now, $249.99 for the PSP and a bunch of stuff. And then you pay the next installment of $424.99 5 days before the PS3 actually comes out. So that is a fantastic way to milk money.
Mm.
Especially because people will like pay that even if they've already got a PSP, if they're like so stupid that they actually want a PS3.
Is this the only way that you can get a PS3 though? I'm sure they'll sell it without.
Who knows? I mean,
limited,
you know,
internet offer. Weird. I suppose they're just trying to push
milk it as much as they can.
Yeah. Milky.
Nice going, HMV. Way to try and make some money and rip people off who can barely afford it as it is.
Aye. Alright.
Anyway. Supreme Commander. I think we were going to touch a bit more on that, weren't we?
Yes.
Because you've seen it running and everything.
Yeah, we...
And I've played the beta version. We actually, you know, managed to get the beta version. Even though it's gone gold now, so it's gone into production. So it should be available within the next few weeks.
16th.
16th,
so,
is it?
Yeah, cool. It's the 16th launch. So not next Friday, Friday after. I'm definitely going to be buying a copy. I must admit, I had doubts whether or not Paul would like this game. I thought at least the scaling of it.
I've got loads of problems with it.
You have got problems with it now.
Yeah. Hopefully some of those to be addressed in the final version from the beta.
So what were you finding that was wrong with it?
It had the same issues as Total Annihilation.
Mm-hmm.
One, you click on stuff, and it doesn't, like, in Command & Conquer and Age of Empires, well, less so Age of Empires, but in Command & Conquer you had, like, a big acknowledgement. Acknowledged!
Mm.
You know, in this, it's just a little, you know, an engine revving up a bit. I think you need something more distinct, especially because you have to be very careful about what you click on. Because if you just miss a unit by a couple of pixels, you don't click on it.
A bit like Warcraft, it's like, more work?
Yeah, Warcraft was awesome for the stuff they said.
I love clicking on those axe guys, because there's loads of them on the Burning Crusade when you start as the new race. One of the islands where the Alliance have landed on these two ships, they're actually cutting down the forest.
More work!
And there's loads of them, you just go around clicking them all, and you're like, what do you want? More work! And it's like, yay, Warcraft 3! But
yeah, that's what I do even now in World of Warcraft, I just click on people.
Click, 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 click.
Although the stuff in World of Warcraft was nothing compared to StarCraft and Warcraft 3.
Mm.
And even, you know, Warcraft 2. And maybe even 1.
But yeah, I must admit, it's got an element to it that is exciting. Fair enough, I found out officially that with it being a games for Windows, it will be using Vista's DirectX 10 system and dual monitor system.
When? Is that in the box now, or are they releasing a patch later on?
It looks like straight out of the box, because it's part of the specifications for it, as in the RAM specs.
Cool. But of course, if you've got a GeForce card, you're buggered, because the drivers are shite.
ATI.
Yeah, our cards actually work. And when we actually get an ATI DirectX 10 card, the drivers will work. There's actually a class action lawsuit going against NVIDIA. Is they're saying all their stuff is Vista ready, and it's just not.
Yeah. You just haven't got their heads around it yet. Zelo is asking...
No, I mean, you know, on my blog, I slammed them a couple of months back for not having their stuff ready, and it's still not ready. Mm. So yeah, Supreme Commander, good game.
Yeah,
But playing against the AI on maps that are too big is a bad idea, because the AI just goes mental and expands all over the place.
Yeah.
And it's hard to keep track of. But on small maps, it's much better.
Would you say that it's... With the fact that it's a larger scaled RTS game, that it's slightly different gameplay compared to normal, because you're not having to be playing close quarters all the time. The fact you've got a little bit more space and a little bit more time that
you've got plenty of space, it's good.
One thing that I really did like with watching you play it was the choke points, being able to create those boxes for walls and stuff like that, and how you based off your area and just gave you one open area, which was on the beach, and you had a whole set of troops guarding the beach area for access to your base.
And then some guy came up with a nuke and
nuked half, like a third of your base.
Thanks a lot.
Nuke under his arm. Here, parcels for you guys. It's free beer. Quick.
Zelio's asking a question about Windows Vista. He says, will the Radeon X1900 XTX, which is what I've got, run Vista fine and crap? I don't know about running crap alright, but it should run Vista alright. But it isn't a DirectX 10 card, so...
He means, will it run stuff like DirectX 10?
Well, it would work with the games, but it's not a DirectX 10 card.
Right.
So you need to wait for a DirectX 10 card to be released from ATI, or spend 400 quid on a GeForce 8800 and wait a couple of months for their drivers to actually work. So you might as well just wait for the card and, you know, save your money.
As far as problems, no, it won't have any problems. It's
no
working fine. Paul's is working fine. Mine is the model down. And
yours is 1600.
Yeah, and mine's working lush.
I did have some problems with the 850 card, which is in there, which crashed when you tried to run OpenGL at full screen.
Right.
But I just changed that by putting it into a window. So, but that'll be fixed in the next driver release, probably. But I've not encountered that on my, you know, 1900. Only on the 850.
I do like Vista's capability of being able to say, you can go look to see what's available, choose which upgrades you upload you want straight down onto your computer.
Yeah, Windows Update... Finally, after years of nagging, it's no longer a web application.
No.
It's client-based code.
Yeah, which is much, much nicer.
And a plus, Ultimate then you've got all the language packs, so I can install the German version and have German throughout my operating system, or the Russian version, or the Japanese version.
Ultimate,
that's an
pretty
awesome
cool
way to freak people out. My computer's Japanese.
What's the BitLocker? Because I've got Ultimate like you, so I'm a...
BitLocker encrypts your entire drive.
Right.
So basically, if someone nicked your computer without the key from like a USB device, the drive would be encrypted and can't read it. So it's for like businesses, for like laptops that go missing and stuff like that.
So BitLocker is very good if you've got a laptop.
It's very good if you've got lots of illegal materials on your computer, or materials you don't want other people to see.
Cool.
So if you're a terrorist, like planning nuclear warfare, awesome feature. Get the Ultimate Edition.
The Ultimate Edition. The Ultimate Terrorist Office.
You know, it'd probably take a supercomputer a couple of weeks to actually try and crack the encryption on it, if they can at all, because it's probably some, you know, insane bit depth encryption on it.
I was just thinking, if you know, like you got a brother or somebody, he's got a computer and he's
if
like,
if you're in the Mujahideen,
and
get Ultimate.
And you know, he's got XP and he's got it password protected, and you even if he's left it logged in, you go in, you can't do anything because there's no way of getting rid of the password protection unless you've got the password. But I was sat there when I was actually.
But you could just take the hard drive out of the machine and put it in another machine and read all the data, as long as his, unless he's like actually set up the NTFS security on his folder. But even that, you can take ownership of the folder if it's on a new system.
Well,
so you need to encrypt it if you want to keep it secure.
I just thought of a way to get around password protection for logon on XP. All you've got to do is wait until your brother had logged on, and then you barricade the door, and then you stick in your copy of your Vista, and then you turn the computer off, turn it back on so it boots off the disk, and then you install it over the top and not wipe the hard drive and get his operating system to be squished into a little folder called Windows Old. And then you've got the passwords and you create the password to log in and he can't get back on his computer. And then you can boot through his files in a little old folder.
That would be rude.
Yeah, no, it'd be very cool.
But anyway, I mean,
the
it's,
thought was crossed my mind when I was doing it.
It's much easier on Linux because so many Linux distros, they store passwords in plain text files. What is this, Windows 3.1?
I like Linux. It's very nice. I like Penguin. Yeah. we're finishing off on Supreme Commander, looking extremely good. We'll be doing the review when me and Paul both get it.
We'll have to do some multiplayer.
Yeah, multiplayer on it looks absolutely amazing. This looks like a really good game for playing online because bases is nicer. I'm liking the idea of being able that you, if wanted to, one trick I used to do on Dawn of War, because you can rebuild your base again, I would keep my base as a dummy base. People are thinking I'm building soldiers and I'm moving them out, and I'm just basically clicking, and anything that gets built, I just say, go there. And while they're doing it, I've made my creating guys go around, sit in the middle of someone else's base, and we build a base sat on top of each other. So we've got two bases interlinked. So we can have more gun turrets, because you can only build so many gun turrets per player, so we have twice as many gun turrets. And this, I feel like you've got much more space that you could end up, one guy's like, I love all the boats, and the other guy's like, no, I want all the mechs. You just build two bases together. And
well, you do have a unit cap, which is 1,000 units.
Yeah. So you really could get together and just relocate and fortify with those, because the box is basically, best way to describe it is it looks like a metal container, which is round about the height of one of their mechs, isn't it? Smaller than the Supreme Commander, but
are you talking about the walls?
Yeah.
Yeah, the walls, I mean, I think tall mechs and stuff can shoot over walls, but you have, you know, units have to walk around them, demolish them.
Yeah, so you're really causing a lot of hassle, especially if you start zigzagging those down in V-shapes across good choke points. You can really slow advancements into your base.
But I was playing with the artillery, and the artillery is awesome. I just need to build, like, 20 artillery batteries, and they've got a huge range.
You can bombard loads of places, and then the fact that you've got fighters, submarines.
Yeah, I mean, I still haven't played with aircraft at all yet because there's just so much stuff, and I'm trying to keep track of it.
That's what I mean. You could so team up two people or three people together, and if someone was like, I'll be the Navy, I'll go in the Navy, and it's like, I'm the mechs, I'll go down this thing. The other guy's like, yeah, I'll do boats, mechs and airplanes, and my mechs will stay here and guard the bases, my boats will guard our port, and my aircraft will just come and help you guys God knows how far down the map when you get there.
About 60 kilometres away. But it's good because it actually shows you an ETA of when your units will get to places as well.
Oh, what? So when you click on the unit and you say you walk to that place.
Yeah, you know it's going to take about half an hour.
That's cool, because I did like the fact that a lot of the small mechs have that ability to be picked up by those cargo units and flown along. Yeah. So, I must admit, one thing that I really like about this, you know, I was on about ages ago about the game I wanted to design where it was going to be a first-person shooter RTS.
Here we go.
That, from the RTS perspective, that's what I wanted. That larger map. That would be awesome. Because if you think of it as a first-person shooter, there would be no way to be able for someone to go bollocks to all this making shit. I just want to go shoot something. You wouldn't be able to do it. You'd be spending
a couple of hours running somewhere.
Yeah. So the idea of being able to have to get support to be flown to somewhere, dropped out, and you know that the battle you're fighting is not like if you die that they're going to run straight past you and blow up your base, because the base is way too far away. So you really have to have lots and lots of skirmishes fighting your way all the way to someone's base and gaining ground.
But that's the trouble with fighting AI, because the AI just, you know,
accumulates so much land.
Yeah.
You see it.
They can manage so much at once. It's just,
yeah, because they can multitask, where there's so much going on, it's harder to
especially multitask. Because on the huge maps, the little mini map just doesn't fall over.
Yeah. But bar that, it is looking pretty good. I must admit, this is going to be one of those games where single player going through the levels will be pretty good, because normally they handle by the fact that you don't get to control everything at first. You're working your way up bit by bit by bit, and there's a strategy to it in storyline, so that will probably take away a lot of the confusion. Fair enough, we might see an improvement on skirmish, but I must admit LAN matches and online gameplay for this is going to be immense, because of the fact that you're not going to be creating your base and thinking, right, there's a little dark area in shadow to my right. For all I know, my opposition could be sat right there. And sometimes if you go on the maps where there's lots and lots of loading points for lots of characters, like an 8-player map, you just find yourself sat right next to someone. And if you're not working quick enough to build stuff, you just get blown out the floor easily enough. So this, I'm looking forward to
multiplayer. Especially if you're in the middle of two guys. It's automatically, at the start of the game, you've lost.
Mm.
Because you know they're just going to go through you.
And there's none of these quick skirmishes where they're sending over one guy and trying to attack you straight away. You know that you've got enough time that by the time anybody could ever get to you with the first things you can build...
Well, the fact your, you know, Supreme Commander Mech Dude is a pretty good military unit to start off with, who can, you know, hose down a squad of people quite easily.
Yeah. That's the other thing I like about it, is he is the guy that's building stuff. He's like a mobile armored unit that goes along and builds stuff. So it's like grabbing everything that's good, that your leader, your hero character of RTS, and your builder all into one. Ooh, we just found a new feature on the gobble.com. In the bottom right
Gabbly,
there's bottom right hand corner, there's a fade button. Now when you click on that, what do you have control of on clicking on anything? You can type.
Yeah, it works just the same, but just transparent.
So you'd be able to, you could sit on a web page, see what's going on, and actually, I'm liking this new gabble. This is now, from now on, this will be our new Gamercast chat room, because
yeah, this is what I found this when a bunch of guys on Channel 9 for the Vista launch, we all got together in a chat room and, you know, studied like that. So that was cool. That's how I discovered it.
It is very good, because it's going to make our life much easier with the ability to be able for people to listen to the show and be on the chat at the same time.
All in the same window.
Yeah. So it's much, much better. The other thing I like about this is say for argument's sake you're trying to find something on a web page and you're trying to help someone. You know, like you do remote links sometimes.
All the time.
Yeah. The good thing about this is, say for argument's sake I'm like, dude, check this website out. You could quite happily just open up the website through Gabble and have a chat while staring at whatever this is that's on there or whatever.
Yeah.
So, very good. I'm liking it. It's our new system. What's next? Oh, yes. My Adam install Windows Vista. Yep, got my Vista Ultimate on... When was it?
Thursday. Friday.
Got it on Friday. Got the OEM version, so it just came in a normal DVD box with all the OEM
gobbledygook
that comes with it. And then Yes. First off, made sure that I backed up all my bits and bobs.
First off, I made sure I formatted my hard drive before backing everything up.
Yeah.
Format.
What's this button do?
Funny story.
Go on then.
From the Microsoft news groups, someone had. What was it? They had Windows XP installed and they had Windows Vista installed. And basically, they had booted up. Yeah, they had booted up Windows Vista, and they tried to format their D drive, their secondary hard drive, and the format option was grayed out. What they didn't know is that Windows Vista was on that drive. And it's like, Vista won't let me format my hard drive. Vista's this, Vista's that, Vista doesn't work. You're formatting your Vista drive.
Because they wanted to get rid of the Windows.
Yeah. They thought, oh, I want to get rid of the old Windows stuff to format, so I'll click on format, and you know, it's your OS partition.
But yeah, backed up all my stuff.
So yeah, that wasn't really that funny, that's just sad.
Backed up most of the stuff that I keep that would want to back up on a computer is on my larger hard drive anyway, so there wasn't much manoeuvring. A little bit of screenshots of Expression for all my logon for Noob Hunter website.
Noob.
And
Noob Hunter, powered by Windows Vista.
Oh yeah.
Actually, it's powered by Windows Server 2003. With Core 2 Duo technology.
Noob Hunter.
Yeah, get on with it.
But yeah, no, I found
we
it.
We don't have all day.
One thing that I did like about
we'll be
it was
here all day if you let me interrupt you again.
Shut up. Much better interface. As soon as you put it in there, it allows you to check out all of your setup first, and then you go in, install. I actually really did like the way that this worked.
It just shuts up and does it in the background. Until it gets to the end where it asks for some information.
The interface for choosing which drive. Now, normally, I was doing that off the standard setup for my computer. But this, Vista was doing it for you. It loaded enough of Vista to be able to sort that out. One thing that I missed the first time was the fact that when Paul showed me later that if you click on Advanced Options, it allows you to pick up a little rubber and then click on one of your drives, and you can format it.
It gives you all the partitioning and formatting and all that support.
Yeah.
Which otherwise, it would just move your old stuff to Windows.org.
Where before, all you had to do is put an old operating system on the top of it, and it would just wipe it. Had been with mine. It goes, you want to reformat this, it's not enough space, click reformat.
There are a couple of ways Windows would do it. Windows XP, for example, would upgrade your old installs. Like if you're installing Windows XP over Windows XP, it would upgrade Windows XP. It would like replace all the files. That was bad for a number of reasons. One, people were confused if they had Service Pack 2 installed still. And it's also bad because if you install updates that aren't tested for that scenario, they could break the system. Or Windows XP would give you the option to format. But again, the formatting is something you have to tell it to do. It will ask you, do you want to format this, blah, blah, blah.
But it was all in that crappy looking system, wasn't it? Where it's all
the old school 98-esque interface.
Yeah.
They gave the installer a new interface.
Which much nicer. And I walked right past it just thinking, yeah, click installed. And it said, right, I am packing up your old XP into a folder called windows.old. Which all my files were still sat there. But anything that was sat outside of Windows, it didn't grab. So I still had...
In my experience, it has. It's moved everything over.
I still had the folders for the NVIDIA, and which were still sat there.
From like 5,000 years ago.
And it still had all of the stuff for 3D Studio Max, because 3D Studio Max doesn't go in the programs folder.
Weird, but then saying that, I've only done that on Vista. So I've installed Vista over Vista for brand new builds, and it moved everything over.
And
like
Vista is very particular about where it puts stuff. So yeah, when I realised that, I'd had a play with it, spent the rest of the evening playing, finding drivers and where I knew where stuff was, and Paul was helping me organise my internet access, because unfortunately my modem is downstairs. I have no way of getting my modem router upstairs, which means I'm no way allowed to run a cable through the house, so I have to go wirelessly. Unfortunately, as soon as Vista was installed, I had no wireless, because we had to, me and Paul had to figure out how to find the drivers to get them work. I tried it first time, wouldn't work. But by this point, I had enough, so I went in and I booted off Vista disk again, reformatted the drive, reinstalled it, went for a cup of tea, came back, all sorted, all installed.
How long did it take?
Well, remember, I was saying it was going to take an hour, and I disappeared, and it was like half an hour later, and I'd managed to reboot, reformat, and reinstall completely, and sit there and have a quick play and sort some stuff out within half an hour. So within half an hour, you can redo the whole entire lot.
It is fast because it's all image-based now.
The other thing that I am liking, if I unplug all USB peripherals...
Windows says, oh my god, you unplugged all the stuff.
And I unplug anything that's USB, and I just hit, and I reformat and reinstall, I can have a computer ready to rock and roll straight away. If I do it with XP, I'm sat there and I have a pile of disks that are drivers and programs to be able to do anything, you know, for DVD, sound card, the lot. I can burn DVDs off. Even my DVD burner and my TV card work straight off, because if I've got internet plugged in through Ethernet, because I had that Ethernet plug still in when I rebooted, it already got the drivers for all my stuff that I found from manually before straight away.
From a Windows update.
Yeah.
Where you get drivers.
So I must admit, the great thing about it is a reformat does not mean you're sat there with lots of stuff that doesn't work. You reformat, it works straight off the fly.
So all you literally had was your Belkin USB Wi-Fi adapter.
And the Canon scan, which I found quite easy enough. But yeah, no, I was fairly impressed with that. The system is absolutely sweet. Unfortunately, because mine's slower than Paul and because of the macro processor, I'm only at a
3.5.
3.5? Yeah.
What CPU have you got?
It's Pentium 4. It's 2.53 gigahertz. So... Ooh. I could totally keep all... at all and move the games to my C programs and delete the rest of the
stuff. Stop reading the chat room, I'm replying. Just carry on with your nonsense.
But yeah, no, finding it incredibly weird to where to find stuff, but really, you've got to have a play. You've got to the Welcome Center. Bloody useful idea to be able to put
I thought it was bloody annoying.
Well, it was annoying. You turn it off straight away, but you beta tested this, so you know where everything is. For people that
do I spent 10 minutes the other day looking for why Hibernate disappeared.
Most people won't recognise where anything is, and to be honest, some people don't want to keep hitting the classic button to find stuff. Put it into classic mode and actually look.
Classic mode doesn't change where stuff is.
No, but everything is... You're going to control panel. Everything is set up into these here.
Categories.
But you're not sure which category to look in. You hit classic view and it opens it all.
Pick an item. Pick an option, I'll find it straight away.
Sound. Yeah, there you go. But most people won't think to do that.
Use search box.
Exactly. With all the search boxes, you know, everything's easier to find. And I must admit, I was trying to be quick, so I hit the classic mode so I could find where it was and da da da. But afterwards, when I had more time to sit down, I thought, bugger, I'm not doing the classic mode, I am going to run this operating system Vista style. None of this XP shit, I am going to run it Vista. So I went into each one, and I'm just memorising and getting used to the flow of where everything is.
Speaking of the control panel, in Windows XP you had something similar to that. You had categories, but they were shite.
Yeah, that's why I had them turned off. I was always in...
you always went to classic mode to actually be able to find anything, but in Vista the categories make sense. You've got system and maintenance, where you can find all the system stuff, like Windows Update, system...
Problem reports, device manager.
And then you've got hardware and sound, which has got your printers, your sound card, your mouse, and all that sort of stuff.
It's been categorized so much nicer.
And then you've got appearance and personalization, which has all your desktop backgrounds, your, you know, sidebar, fonts.
Everything. It's so much...
Programs where you can add, remove programs.
Mm. It is a lot better, this system.
Or you can just use search. Mm. Like if search display... You know, all that. And then, of course, it even asks you if the search results are any good.
Mm.
Yeah, I put in DISP and I got an option for a display. I wasn't looking for that. I was looking for despair.
I am just the pit of despair.
Someone told me Vista has the pit of despair. But no, installing was incredibly easy. It, you know, I could have, the manual basically just told me how to install and stuff. What was new, I barely had to use it. It was just reboot off the disk, format your hard drive, install, leave it to it.
It's so easy. Adam could do it.
Yeah.
Does it mean, you know, fair enough, Windows XP, easy to install, but you had to read everything and check everything, and it was like nagging you halfway through installing it, what's your name?
Mm.
Or nagging you, what region is you? This, you know, it starts off where you want to install it, copies all the images across, reboots the machine a couple of times, maybe. It reboots it at least once.
It reboots and then it reboots again and you're done.
Yeah, then it finishes a setup program, asks you what country you're in, what regional settings, what your usernames are, and it does a quick performance test on your system, and boom. You don't have to check back every 5 minutes to see if it stopped to ask you something else.
Yeah. I'm liking the fact you get your name and everything like that, then later on it's your password and what groovy icon you want and stuff, and then it's all done. And
yay.
I've gone for a kiddie at the moment, but I haven't been able to customise and put my one in because I've lost my old one, unfortunately.
Oh, so much of backing everything up.
I didn't think to put my kitty in a tree. I have a black kitty that sat in a tree, a Christmas tree. I'm going to find something new anyway.
What do you think of that then?
Absolutely amazing. Aesthetically, it looks so...
It's the best looking operating system ever. That goes for all the Linux distros, macOS, all previous Windows versions, especially Windows XP, with its Fisher-Price Duplo graphics.
One thing I really do like is, I like not losing my visual display when I click Start All Programs. Because as soon as you click on All Programs, it puts it in the bar. It keeps it there. It will never get any bloody bigger unless...
That's the thing. I was interviewed for a article earlier today, and they basically wanted to know what my one favourite feature is. And I'll dig my reply out. Here we go. I basically said fast searching, which doesn't just find documents, music, etc., but also finds applications. And then I went on to give, you know, if I want to start Word, I'll press Start, W, O, and press Enter. If I want to start World of Warcraft, I'll press Start, WL, and there's World of Warcraft, and I press Enter, and boom.
Mm.
You know, before you had to navigate your way around this messy structure of menus, and if your mouse fell off one, you know, they might close, and if something happened in the background, they'd close.
But now you can go through a folder system in your Start bar if you're looking for something that you don't know what you're looking for.
Tell me how long it takes me to start Word.
It takes you to start Word.
4 key presses.
Yeah, as much as it takes to press those. You didn't even have to use a mouse for that. But yeah, that, I'm assuming that's incredibly fast. If you know what you're doing the same thing every day. A couple of key presses, boom, your program's up. Because one question I did have for you about Vista, because fair enough, spoke to you about the video thing is not up yet. The video backgrounds have not been done by
Dream Strada. Scene.
What about the voice activation? You know, before you showed me the gadget that pops up, and when you press a Word command, you go Start Programs Word.
Press Start.
Yeah.
Type in speech. Press Enter. Although it probably asked you to do up some setup first.
Which you won't have done because you haven't used your new copy of Ultimate with a lot of the gadgets you've been playing with in beta, have you? So.
No.
Well, that's cool. I'll have a play with that. Not that I have a microphone anymore because I'm not using webcam.
Control panel, ease of access, speech. It's all up in there.
That's cool.
Options like set up the microphone, take the tutorial, and so on.
Yeah, because I'm thinking of getting a new set of cans, because I was looking on Play and all they've got is flipping Sony, but they've got this other make that's there that are quite nice, and they've got a pair of DJ ones in
DJ
PC World, and they've got hinges about there, so you can actually pull one up and put it up there like a DJ, which would be really good for me at work, because sometimes I have to actually have one ear visible, so if someone yells at me to do something, I can still hear it. So I was thinking of getting new cans, but I wouldn't mind if to pair with the headphones for TeamSpeak and doing other stuff online, playing video games.
TeamSpeak Mon.
Because I'm going to be playing more video games with you, with the fact that I'm only going to be living down the street now.
Oh.
Because next month I'm going to be living down the bottom of your road.
Great.
So.
Hey Adam.
So
let's do a daily GamerCast.
Means GamerCast, I'm not going to be late turning up. I can just walk up the road. I've got no excuse.
No, you'll be even later. Oh, I can leave it at 5 minutes. I can leave it at five minutes. Oh no, it's 7 o'clock. I better make a move.
But no, Vista,
that's good. Save on petrol.
One thing I did like about Vista was the fact that it wasn't like
Vista.
Here's your desktop. It said, "What desktop do you want?" And you had options. When you clicked on them, oh, we'll quickly load it in the background so you can see what it would look like. Finally, and I'm like clicking on all that. It's like,
this is in the setup when you install it. Yeah,
spoilt for choice going through. And then afterwards, I changed it again because I thought, right, I'm going to have the same picture, but I'm going to have the widescreen version.
Well, the guy who created these, well, some of them, they basically found him on Flickr. And there was an interview with him I read the other day. And he basically submitted 15 pictures to Microsoft, and Microsoft took 5 of them.
Because that beach one my mum likes, because it reminds her of me and her in Cornwall, because we took her really cool pictures of some of the beach there.
Don't use that. So I'll just read out a bit of the interview here. I got a short Flickr message asking me if I was interested in sending some of my work, without mentioning the party that is interested in buying. After I replied to the message saying, sure, why not, I received a professional offer from Microsoft's MSX Design Group. The moment I saw the Microsoft logo on the header, I didn't know how to react. It was the most tremendous feeling ever. Where did you go for the photo shoots? When I was approached by Microsoft, I was living in Oregon and blah, 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 blah. So he actually took over 6,000 raw images. He submitted 15 to Microsoft, and Microsoft picked 5. And what he's going to do, he's going to release the other 10 on Flickr for people to download. Like 1920 by 1200 resolution
cool.
As well. So things like that. There's like some small ones on there. So release.
Ooh, snow with trees with snow on.
That's that same one, only in like daytime or something. And so on. So he's going to release some other pictures as well.
Well, that's good.
So that's good. So that's 10 extra of like Vista quality wallpapers to have as well.
Because there's some real nice photography done there.
Yeah. Not as good as mine, of course, but
I must admit, I still had our stars over Ilchester with light pollution of the Milky Way for ages.
We need to redo that in the summer.
Mm. Right.
That had so much potential to rock.
Mm.
Absolutely. But the cloud. And the moon didn't help either, so we need to pick a day in August or July.
When the moon's not about.
Whoa. I never knew you could do that.
Ooh.
Cool.
Click on it again.
I discovered new features all the time.
Click on the 2000. Wow. Right, we just found a new feature.
We just found a new feature in the calendar in Windows Vista.
When you look at the calendar.
Whoa,
I
just changed it.
You'll be able to see the calendar. If you click on the date, it will zoom out so you can see all the months. If you click on the year, it zooms out to show you a selection of years. If you click on it again, it shows you an even bigger selection of years.
That's cool, man.
I like that. That's very cool.
Look, we can go back to 1900. There you go. New feature discovered just now.
Oh, yeah.
That's good, because on Windows 95, changing the thing on here would actually change the time on the system.
Mm.
So it was good they actually did this. because so many people actually just used the time thing down there as a calendar, even though it was actually changing the date on the system.
Yeah, because so they want to be able to flick through the dates and look for something. Yeah. That's why I like that little gadget. I keep that gadget up with the calendar on.
Get I am liking soon.
The other thing I like about the calendar is the clock. You can click on the clock and change the face of it in the options, and there's just lots of
funky things like that.
Yeah, so I'm impressed with that.
So do you actually have to sidebar on all the time?
Yeah,
nerd.
I like it because I can see the clock, although I've taken the clock away now. I've got the 24 series clock with a doonch, doonch, doonch. He doesn't do that, but I do. I sit down and go,
doonch. You make the sound effects for him.
I make the sound effects. Doonch, doonch, doonch.
Previously on 24. I'm Jack Bauer and I've been hurt by bullets.
Yeah. So Adam has lost it.
Yes, I've lost it.
So what else do you like about Vista? I mean, what do you think of the games? You played any games?
I played chess quickly, showing my dad.
What does your dad think of it?
My dad can't stop going on the Dell website, looking at all the Vista machines and wanting to buy one. Especially now the fact I didn't create him a guest insert. He's not using my computer now. And the good excuse is I don't have a virus protection software on my computer at the moment. So I haven't.
Yeah, you can't use it. I haven't installed AV yet.
I was looking at one thing, OneCare, the virus software by Microsoft.
Yeah, I wouldn't install that.
Why not?
I'd stick with AVG. It's got the trouble with bundled security programs like, you know, McAfee, Norton, is they dig themselves in at so many places in the system.
Yeah, but when with OneCare being designed by Microsoft.
So the same still applies. It digs itself in all over the system. It puts its firewall in place of the Windows firewall. It puts its whatever in place of that, and so on and so on.
I would have thought
OneCare is much better quality than Symantec, Norton stuff and McAfee, sure.
Because I thought it was designed for Vista and it would fit in better.
But saying that, Vista's got a firewall. You know, you don't want to really... I mean, what's the point in messing with that? Vista firewall does the job. It's got anti-spyware in it. That does that job. Mm. And so on. So, you know, all you really need is AV to be as light as possible. And an annoying thing with OneCare, it tells you when it's updated itself. So it comes up with a little icon and say, I've updated myself. Don't tell me that. Tell me when you don't update, because there's a problem.
Right, but yeah, I'd say...
So what would you give Vista out of 10?
At the moment...
Have you found any bugs?
No.
You're not a very good beta tester, are you?
I'm not beta testing. It's out. It's new. It should work. There should be no bugs. No bugs.
Right. Let me just find something.
One thing I didn't like, but I don't know if I found it yet. There's no CD writer software in Vista.
Yeah, there is.
Where?
Just click on that. Click on patch. Send to... DVD drive or CD drive if you got one.
Right, okay. Well, I did find it because I literally had a CD in my DVD burner. I grabbed hold of the DVD burner icon in my computer, dragged it over the other CD burner, let go, and it burnt all the information from one disk to the other. The problem was it didn't do a clean, straight copy.
It won't do a bit-for-bit copy.
No, because on the other copy, I've got a folder called my G drive DVD writer. It used the drive's name as a folder name and then put the contents of that disk in there, which works fine because it was a program. You double click on that folder and then double click on setup and it works. But yeah, no, I'm
so yeah, right click, send to whatever drive you want, and it will go ahead and write that. If you're after an image writing piece of software, there's ISO Recorder, which is done by another MVP, and I recommend that because it integrates, you know, it doesn't bloat up the system, it integrates like neatly with the system.
Because I didn't want to start installing Nero just yet, because the main reason I use Nero, unless I'm dragging and dropping files to be burnt, is to make a DVD. but I've noticed that this comes with DVD writer. So I'm going to have a play with that and see what that works with to making DVDs, because I've always been a bit disappointed.
You mean making a DVD video?
Yes.
Oh, awesome.
Because I was disappointed with Nero. Nero was very disappointing because you could set up all of the options and stuff like that, but you couldn't separate things away. If you added something extra, an extra video, and you added on another button, it didn't matter if you never clicked the other button. When it finishes the first video, it'd play the next video. And it's like, I only wanted to watch one of them. So creating up my showreel was incredibly annoying.
So we've got these images. These are just still images.
Mm.
Hopefully we won't have to put a DVD in there. And we've got all these different sort of menu styles like that.
Oh.
And then if you click next...
Oh, I'm going to be playing with this.
Then if you click on, what is it? Menu text, URL text and all that.
Oh, I'm definitely playing with that. I'm impressed with that.
All the slideshow feature. Add music into it as well.
Oh.
When you can change the way they actually animate in, so that you could do like that. And they like slide in like that and stuff like that. Play and scenes and all that, so it is quite good.
Mm. One thing that I like is the fact that they said, right, if it's not innovated or a little bit better, and if it's not aesthetically pleasing, we're not putting it in Vista.
Hang on, Windows Mail. Windows Mail doesn't look too good.
No.
No, it's got a blue bar and everything else is a black bar.
Yeah, I suppose.
Consistency.
But yeah, I'd say that's. All for now. I will probably
go on next episode for a couple of hours.
A little bit, a smidge bit
the
more.
The week after.
What I also found.
Any games you've installed that don't work?
I haven't installed any games yet. I ain't got that far. Have not got that far yet.
Get them installed, man.
Yeah.
Because I'm struggling to find something that doesn't work.
But yeah, I would say that's it for this week.
Any feedback, you can go to feedback@gamercast.net, or you can leave comments on the blog at gamercast.net, or there's the forums at portalforums.net, and that's fun.
As before, any old listeners?
Old listeners? Our market research shows our listenership average age is like 20.
Old listeners, as in they were original listeners from the old show.
Well, old school listeners.
You know, if you're not listening live and you didn't like that whole trying to set it all up, you know, just go onto our live website, and from now on, as soon as it hits 7 o'clock, you will be able to listen to us live and have the chat room there and then, because we're hopefully trying to get a link put in for the
gobble. Yeah.
So it's going to be much, much nicer. So we're trying to push the show so that you guys can be a little bit more there with us when we're doing it.
Our listenership is going up, and that's good.
Mm.
And it's, you know, going up. Fairly nice rate, but if it doubles every week, that'd be even better.
Yeah.
So yeah, get all your friends to listen.
Get all your friends. Advertise us where you can. You listen to Gamercast.
Yeah, you listen to Gamercast. That means we own you.
The new banter is coming.
Right. So that's it for this week.
See you next week, which will be on a Monday.
Yes, it'll be Monday next week because I am going to Devon on holiday.
Okay, so it'll be Monday the 12th.
Yep.
Okay, we will see you then.
We'll see you then.
On Gamercast episode 59.
Woo! One away from 60.